April 16th, 2019.
When the Kohanim are requested to Duchen, the Pasuk says, Kosu Orchaz B'nai Yisrael, Amor Lahem. So the simple pshat in Pasuk is that the Kohanim, Kosu Orchaz B'nai Yisrael, Kohanim should give a bracha, Amor Lahem, the Kohanim should say the following. So the Targum Onkelos writes on that Pasuk, Kosu Orchaz B'nai Yisrael, Kad Teim Rolahon. Amor Lahem means when the Tzibur requests of the Kohanim that they want a bracha, then the Kohanim should give a bracha. If the Tzibur doesn't request any bracha, so the Kohanim are not obligated to give any bracha. So the meaning has developed by the Ashkenazim that we only request the bracha of the Kohanim on Yom Tov. Why? Why only on Yom Tov? Because the Kohanim are supposed to give the bracha when they're in a good mood. Tovayin hu yivarech. So all year long, people work for a living, they have aggravation, we live in Golus, and on Yom Tov, people are relaxed. And even though Shabbos also we relax, no, but Shabbos we know is gonna, just a little break, we're going to have to work the next 6 days after Shabbos is over. Somehow Yom Tov we're more relaxed. So that's how the minig developed. Very strange minig, really difficult to justify, but that's the minig. We don't request a bracha of the Kohanim, so they're not obligated to give any bracha. So they quote that the Vilna Goyen wanted to introduce Duchening every day, and the first day that he was going to introduce Duchening, something happened, the police came, or a fire broke out or something, and he took it as a simon min hashamayim that he shouldn't tamper with the minik. And then Rav Nosson Adler also wanted to introduce Duchening every day, also something happened, so they both took it as a simon min hashamayim, we should leave it the way it is. But by the Sfaradim, they never had such a minig, so they duchen every day.
Aren't you not allowed to do that? To just take random occurrences as a sign that you should or should not do something?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I don't know. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rabbi Yankev Emden. Rabbi Yankev Emden wrote a sefer on Orach Chaim, on Tur in Beis Yosef. That's called Morik Tzia. The Mishnah Berurah quotes every so often something important from the Moritzia. So here he quotes and he disagrees. He says, Rabbi Yankev Emden writes that the obligation to duchen bizman hazeh is only midirabbanan. Why can't they be min haTorah? Because the Gemara in Soito, when we learned Soito, we started from that perik, Ela Nemarim. The Mishnah talks about different mitzvahs of Amira, to daven and to say kriyashman, to say brichas hamazon, and to say Birchas HaTorah and so on. To do Chalitza, you have to say Kochi Yosa Leish. So all of the mitzvahs of Amira, some of them have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and some of them can be fulfilled in translation. So the Mishnah says, Ela Namor B'choloshen V'Ela Namor B'losh Na'kodesh. Following mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and the other mitzvahs can be fulfilled in translation. So it says that Duchening has to be Davke in the original Hebrew. They can't say Hebrew, so they can't be in translation. So the Gemara comments, the Gemara has most of the dinim aduchanim appear there in Masech HaSoit and Perek El HaNemor. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk. We just had the pasuk, I think, in Parshas Tzav. Vayered me'asos achatas v'is Aaron asiyot av alhoam v'yivorchem. Aaron lifted up his hands and he gave a bracha. Yivorecha yoyer yiso. Vayered me'asos achatas v'ha'olo. So the Gemara understands the pasuk to mean that after Aaron completed Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur on the Shmini Lemiluim, then he recited Birchas Kohanim. So you learn now from that pasuk that Birchas Kohanim can only take place at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. Rabbi Yankev Emden says Bizman is no Karbonas at all. So the whole duchening can maximum only be Midirabban. You're not mechuyev min haTorah to duchen. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from Rabbi Yankev Emden. He doesn't quote it, not in the Mishnah Berurah, not in the Bir Halacha, not in the Shaar HaTzion. He has an asterisk in the Mishnah Berurah, then in a footnote on the bottom of the page, in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, we have all the Dinim of Duchanin. The footnote, he quotes this, and he says, it's wrong, it's against the Torah's Kohanim, and against this, and against that, it's not correct. All right, so it's wrong, but isn't he right? Rabbi Yankev Emden quoted a Gemara in Soita. The Gemara says the obligation to Duchan is only Duchan at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain why he's wrong. It just says it's against all the Gemaras. So Rav Soloveitchik gave his explanation, not his. He said it over from the Keret Ira, Karen Ner was the younger brother of the Mishkan Es Yankiv. Mishkan Es Yankiv was one of the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. When he started the Volozhiner Yeshiva, so he was one of the first Talmidim. And then he was Rav Yankel Karlina. He was the rabbi in Karlin. Stolen, Karlin, half the city was Hasidim, half the city was Misnagdim. So many of his tshuvas in the Mishkan Es Yankiv about to explain why the Hasidim are wrong about this, that, and the other thing. They're always wrong about everything. And then the other tshuvas are regular tshuvas. So his, when he passed away, so his younger brother, the author of the Karen Ara, took over the Rabbanus in Karlin. So the Karen Ara, not Gemara, Karen Ara wrote Svarim on all of Kachin, and much of Saita is about Karbanus also, the Karbanus that that the husband has to bring when his wife is a Saita. So the Karen Ara explains as follows, with Rav Soloveitchik's embellishment. So I think we may have said this recently, that in Shema Kolena, at the end of the Shema Kolena, Kabel Barachim Mavrotzen as Tfilosena. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept all of our prayers. So Shoyin, we say Baruch Ata Hashem Shema Tfilah. Right after that, you say, V'yamcha Yisolev is Tfilosem. Please accept the prayers. You just said, please accept the prayers. What do you say? Another Baruch, the same thing. So the Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Balatanya writes like this, that the term ritzui, ritzei b'amcha Yisrael, the term ritzui, ruba de ruba, when it appears in Tanakh, is in connection with korbanos. If you have a korban that's not accepted, so it's called, the Mishnah is called loy hurtza, it's possible. If the korban is accepted, so it says v'nitza lo l'chaper olam, so the korban is hurtza. So when you say shema kolayna kabil b'rachamim uvarotzin estril, the Kodesh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Then when we say ritzei, we ask an additional bakosha. Please accept our prayers and consider it as if we had offered a korban. Accept the prayers, there should be a ritzui. Accept the tefillos as if he would have offered a korban. So the ma'isa, there are two types of korbanos. There's a korban yochid and there's a korban tzibur. There are two types of tefillos. There's a tefillos ha-yochid and a tefillos ha-tzibur. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, this was, my father told me, this was the first shiur that Rav Soloveitchik said when he came to America. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik took the Talmidim to the dock to greet his son when he came from Europe. He came by boat. And then he invited them to give a shiur the next day. So the next day he gave a shiur, the shiur that he repeated many times later, about the difference between Tefillah Bitzibur and Tefillah Satzibur. Tefillah Bitzibur is Tefillah Balachash, whenever everybody davens the Shtilah Shmon Esri together, simultaneously. So that's a Tefillah Sayochid that we recite Bitzibur. We stand a better chance of having the tefillah answered. Listen to if you daven b'tzibur, then if you daven b'yochid. The Gemara gives the mashal. The Gemara says that if you sell one apple to the other person, it turns out that it's a rotten apple, so it's a mekach tos. If you sell a whole bushel of apples and one or two are rotten, so you can't say mekach tos. It's self-understood that there's always going to be a rotten apple in the middle of a big bushel. So if a person davens all by himself tefillah b'yochid, one person davening, so in case he's the rotten apple, in case his tefillahs are not so gevaldik, so the Rabban Shalom will not accept them. The Malachim will not accept them and present them to the Rabban Shalom. But if you have a whole tzibur davening together, so in a whole big bushel, if you have one or two rotten apples, so they pass in. So the Gemara says like that. You stand a better chance of having your tefillahs accepted if you daven b'tzibur than if you daven b'yochin. Agav the tzibur, even your tefillahs will be accepted. So when we daven tefillah belachan, so it's tefillahs ha-yochid. Each yochid is davening his own davening, but he's davening bitzibur. He stands a better chance of having an answer. When the chazan repeats the chazaras ha-shatz, that's not the chazan's davening his own tefillah. The chazan is offering tefillahs ha-tzibur. He's offering one tefillah on behalf of the whole tzibur. What initially motivated the chachamim to introduce chazaras ha-shatz was that sometimes there's an ein aboki. Sometimes someone does know how to daven. So let the chazan say the Shmon Esrei, and the Ein Aboki, the Am Haaretz, the Boer, will be Yotze with Shemei Koine. But once they instituted the Takonis, it's not only on behalf of the Ein Aboki. Even the Boki also has to listen to the Chazaras HaShatz.
How do we request the Brahmin to do it? What do we do to request? What's our request? Kohanim? How do we request the Kohanim to do it? We said that you have to request it.
Okay? We scream out, Kohanim!
And then if we say it's part of Okinu Mokeh Vaseinu, that's not the...
Rather than, the Tosis says, if the Chazam will scream out Kohanim, that's a hepsik in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. So that's why Tosis points out that they used to have someone else other than the Shliach Tzibur would scream out Kohanim. But our meaning is that we have the Chazan scream out and say, why isn't that a Hepsik? So the Tosis says, if the Chazan says the whole paragraph, and the word Kohanim is part of a whole paragraph, and it makes sense, and then it's not a Hepsik. But the Kohanim has two meanings. It's part of the Tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should accept the brachas. B'chein b'abracham shalash b'tar Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept the brachas of the Kohanim. And in addition to that, it's tzivu to the Kohanim that they should duchen.
So we say this every day. What's the difference between the
Rishus? No, but on Yom Tov, when we scream at Kohanim, we mean we want you to give us a bracha. During the rest of the year, when the Chazan says the bracha, it doesn't pause. He doesn't say Kohanim in the sense of a tzibui. He just says it as a bakosha from the Rebbe Shlom. He should b'chein b'abracha. He should give us the bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik explained what motivated the Chachamim to introduce Chazaras HaShatz. Initially, it was because they were Ein Bikim, they were Amihoit, didn't know how to daven. So they instituted that Chazan should repeat the Shemona Esrei so he could be Moitzi, the Ein Bokim, but Shemekan. But once they made the Takana, so even the people who did daven the Shtel Shemona Esrei, everybody has to pay attention because it's a Tfilah Satsiba. The whole Tziba together offers one Tfilah. In a lot of yeshivas, the practice is that when they daven Mincha, they make Ohecha Kedusha. They don't say Chazaras HaShatz. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about that. He thought that it's not right. He thought that even after everybody finished the Shtila, everybody ends his Kedusha, Nohecha Kedusha, and then everybody finishes the Shtila Shemana Esrei. So Rav Soloveitchik said, so now Eresh Demuchiv to have Chazaras HaShatz. If you have 10 people to daven together, Balachash, now they have to have Chazaras HaShatz, even though you already said Kedusha. So what? The purpose, the role of Chazaras HaShatz is not in order to gain Kedusha is a separate thing. The purpose of Chazar Shach, whenever you have 10 people davening, Tfilas HaYochid, Bitzibur, Tfilah Bitzibur, Tfilas HaYochid Bitzibur, the Mechuyev Mitam Takanas Chacham to offer one Tfilas HaTzibur. The Chazan has to say the Chazar Shach and say Kedusha Tzvetamo. Just because you already answered Kedusha, there's no excuse not to daven Chazar Shach. So Bianca Kamenetsky used to defend the practice. Why in the yeshivas they say Hechid Kedusha? So he says the whole reason why they instituted a Chazaras HaShatz is because of an Ein HaBoki. But in a yeshiva, Kodana Chacham, Kodana, everybody is a Boki, everybody knows how to daven, so there's no need for Chazaras HaShatz. Rav Soloveitchik didn't go for that. He thought that was what motivated the Chachamim initially to institute Chazaras HaShatz, but once they instituted it, so it's a Chiyuv even on the Boki. Everybody has to pay attention to the Chazaras HaShatz. That's the Tfilah Satzibur. Just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too there's a Tfilas HaYochid and a Tfilas HaTzibur. So far, Dosh Deit and the Shulti Gibarm, the end of Rosh Hashanah. This part says, on the side of the rift, they have the Horus of the Shulti Gibarm. So this appears there. So now, the Keren Ohr explains like this. When a Yochid davens Tfilas HaYochid, Tfilah Belachash, and he says, Shema Koleinu, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the Tfilah. When he adds on Ritzei B'Am Chisol of his Tfilosin, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept his Tfilas HaYochid as if it would have been a Korban Yochid. When the Chazan is saying the Chazaras HaShatz, he's offering Tfilas HaTzibur. So when he says Ritzei, he's requesting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe Shalom should accept the Tfilas HaTzibur as if it would have been a Korban Tzibur. So when the Chazan completes the Bracha Ritzei, that's the conclusion of the Korban Tzibur. And this works Menatorah. That's what the Kamen Arik says. This works Menatorah. When you offer the Bakosha Ritzei B'am Chisol of Esfilosam, this converts the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur, and this enables the Kohanim to duchen menator, because the Gemara learned that from the Pasuk. The only time you duchen is at the conclusion of HaKrobas Korbanas Tzibur. So that's where the Keren Ohr adds on, that's why the Gemara says that the Kohen has to be Oika Raglo Bavoido. It's the Bracha Ritzei that enables the Kohanim to duchen. That's what converts the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So that's why the Kohanim at least have to begin to be Oikar Aglem and have to start walking towards the platform, towards the duchen, before the Chazan finishes that Bracha. Because that Bracha is what enables them to duchen. Then the Karenera adds on an interesting comment. He says there's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban whether the obligation to daven every day is menatorah mederabbanan. So the Rambam is of the opinion that there's an obligation menatorah to daven once a day, every day. The pasuk says liavda b'chol avchem. So the Gemara writes on the first daf in Tainus, avodah shebelev is a reference to tefillah. So there's an obligation. It doesn't say how often you have to daven. So whenever it's unclear, so it means once a day, every day. And when the Gemara says tefillah is only with the Rabbanon, that means in fact you daven three tefillahs every day, sometimes four tefillahs, Musaf, Yom Kippur, you daven five tefillahs, you say Nila, and the Nusach HaTefillah, the precise text of the tefillah, that's with the Rabbanon. But in principle, that you have to daven at least once a day, every day, with the outline, with the framework of starting with Shevach and concluding with Hodoya, in the middle is the essence, should be the Bakasha Sarochim. So the Rambam writes, that's all Minatur. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, says no, that tefillah is only menatorah be'ez tzora. If there's an epidemic, or there's a magefa, or there's a flood, or there's a fire, or there's a melchama, something like that, a famine, there's no rain. When there's a major ez tzora, then tefillah is menatorah. So the Ramban is of the opinion that tefillah b'chol yom is only mederabbanan. So the Karenera says, tefillah b'chol yom is only mederabbanan, but if you want to duchen every day, the Gemara says, duchening is the raisa once a day, every day. If you want to duchen, then you have to have tefillah b'tzibur every day. If you don't have tefillah, unless you bring karbonas tzibur. But if you don't bring karbonas tzibur, so the second best is, you need a shliach tzibur to offer a tefillah sa tzibur, and you should say ritzei. So chazaras hashas, tefillah every day is only with the rabbanim. But to enable you to duchen every day, and the Gemara talks about duchening once a day, every day is a din min haTorah, if the Kohanim are requested to offer the duchening. So in order to enable a Kohanim to duchen, you have to have a Chazoras HaShatz deraisa. Otherwise, you don't have any HaKrovas Kabon HaSibur. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over that Karen Ora's interpretation on the Gemara. We call it the duchen, Oyla LeDuchen, because they used to stand on a platform. That's a machlokes, whether the duchen is me'akev. So none of the Ashkenazi poskim hold that standing on the platform is ma'akev. There are several Sephardish poskim who hold like that. That if the Kohanim don't stand on a platform, they can't duchen. Sometimes by the coastal of Marobi, they duchen, so they have cottons. They have milk cottons that they stand on top of. Because you have to have some, according to the Sephardish psak, you have to have some elevated platform that the Kohanim will stand on. I remember many years ago, we once rented an apartment in the summertime in Beit Vegan, so I daven on Shabbos, I daven a few days in the yeshiva, they're called Torah. So I saw they have Sfardim and Ashkenazi Talmidim there. So the platform in the front by the Aron Kodesh is bigger than this, bigger, higher also. So first the Sfardim walked up. And then there was a little room for two or three Ashkenazim, so they also walked up. But they first let the Sfardim go up because none of the Ashkenazi poskim hold that the duchen is ma'akev. And there are some Sfardish poskim hold that standing on the platform is me'ach. So that's why we call it duchenin. The duchen means the platform. So some poskim hold that standing on the platform is likuba. Most told they stand on the platform. Everybody should be able to hear. They should be able to hear the duchenin. So the Gemara, the Torah Shebal Peh, interprets the posik an additional level of interpretation. It's not lefi pshuto. Lefi pshuto kos v'orchaz b'nei Yisrael. The Kohanim should say, Amor lehem, the Kohanim should say to the tzibur. So the Targum Onkelos writes over there, Kos Varchas Bnei Yisrael, the Kohanim should duchen, Kad Teimrun Lahon. When you request of them, when the Tzibur requests of the Kohanim that they should duchen, then they should duchen. It's a different interpretation. Amor Lahem. The Chazan should say to the Kohanim, not the Kohanim should say to the Tzibur. Lahem, according to the Pshuta Shal Mikra, Lahem means say to the Tzibur, Yerech Hashem Yishmarecha. And according to the Drosh of the Torah Shebal Peh, Amor Lahem means Kad Teimrun Lahon. That's a problem. Rav Soloveitchik considered that a problem. He felt that the Targum Onkelos is supposed to just give Pshutu Shal Mikra, not supposed to give drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. This is not at all Pshutu Shal Mikra. Pshutu Shal Mikra. Amor Lahem, the Kohanim is only talking to the Tzibur, not when the Tzibur says to them. So that's why there's a little sefer that has the biography of Rav Zelma Lev Alojana. That was Rav Chaim Alojana's younger brother. Also spent a lot of time with the Vilna Gaon. They say, whenever the Vilna Gaon didn't remember a Gemara, Rav Zelma Lev Alojana would say it by heart. Hard to understand. What do you mean he didn't remember a Gemara? They say, They say that that the Vilna Gaon had not only photographic memory to say, Abchai Volozhin has said he can tell you Ashrei backwards. He can tell you the Gemara backwards. So what do you mean when he didn't remember? I don't know what it means. But that's what they quote. Whenever the Vilna Gaon didn't remember Gemara, we ask Rav Zalman Lev Volozhin. So they have a little sefer that's called Toldos Sodom. Every so often the Pischei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch will quote from this sefer Toldos Sodom. Different halachas, different comments, halacha lemaisa, that Rav Zalman Lev Volozhin used to say. So they quote there in that sefer that he thinks that this is a misprint in Targum Onkelos, that it says Kad Temron Lahon. The next part, that's in Bahaloscha, I think, the beginning of Bahaloscha, where it has about Duchanim. In Noso, or before the Nis, before the Chanukah Sanasim. So the next pasuk happens to be pasuk Chof Dalet. So it said Chof Dalet in small letters. So Abzal Malavaloshana said the printer made a mistake, and the letters Chof Dalet floated up a line earlier. So it says Kad Temer Lahon. But it shouldn't say Kad. It should say Temer Lahon. The Kohanim should say to the Tzibur, because the Targum Onkelos is supposed to always give Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's a question. Is that so? Onkelos is supposed to only give Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's not supposed to give any fancy comments of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Anyway, the Tosfos has an interesting comment. The Gemara says you only call out Kohanim if there are two or more Kohanim. If there's only one Kohen, so you don't call out, because calling out Kohanim is a tzivui. We request of you that we want you to give us a bracha. So min haTorah, the obligation to duchen is only if there are two or more Kohanim. If there's only one Kohen, they're not mechuyev min haTorah. Duchening is only with the Rabbanon. Why? Because it says amor lohem, and the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets kad teimor lohem. When you request of them in the plural, when the tzibur requests of the several kohanim that they should duchen, then the mechuyev to duchen. We can't demand of a yochid kohen. There's only one kohen. We can't demand of him that he should duchen. He's not mechuyev ben atar to duchen. So if he goes up and he duchens, it's fine. But he's not mechuyev ben atar to duchen. So that's why it's written b'loshen rabbim amor lahem that the chiyuv to duchen is only when you have two or more. Then the Gemara says also that the obligation to duchen ben atar is only once a day every day. That they're not mechuyev to duchen at tzveit them all on the same day. The Mishnah says in Eretz Yisrael they duchen by shachris and by musaf. They duchen twice a day. And Yom Kippur they duchen four times a day. Shachris, musaf, mincha, and nila also, or nila three times a day. So the Kerenura says that's only midirabbanan. The fact that they're obligated to duchen two times a day or three times a day, that's midirabbanan. And they're not mechuyev to duchen a second time, whether it's the same tzibur who's davening shachris and musav, not mechuyev to duchen ben atar a second time, or it's a different tzibur. Let's say he ready duchen by the first minyan, and then he's ready to leave, and the second minyan doesn't have any kohanim. So they say, please stay, we want you to duchen for us. So he's not mechuyev to duchen. Not mechuyev to duchen a second time. If it's shachris and musav, that's a takhanas chacham, then mechuyev to duchen a second time. But if it's not shachris and musav, a different minyan, not mechuyev to duchen a second time. The Gemara says, Amor Lohem has the connotation of Kodam Hamadabra El Chaveroi. So just like when people talk to each other, they face each other, Panim Keneged Panim. So the Duchening has to be also Panim Keneged Panim. The Tzibur should be facing the Kohanim. Very often it happens by the women even more so than by the men, but it happens by the men's section also, that the people are so nervous about not looking at the Kohanim, looking at the Kohanim's hands. The Gemara says it's not the Kabir HaShchina. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was shown on the hands. So the Gemara says it's not proper to look at the hands in the Beis HaMikdash. And since in the Beis HaMikdash it was highly improper, so even Bigvulin also, it's not right to look at the Kohanim's hands. So people are so nervous, they don't want to look at the Kohanim's hands, so they turn around. So that's not right. The Gemara says the Brocha is not Chal on the people who are not facing the Kohanim. Am Shebasodas, the people who didn't show up in shul, and they're wherever they are, but they're not facing the Kohanim. So the bracha is chal on them also, because you don't expect them, not everybody can show up in shul. But those people who are in shul, and they're not facing the Kohanim, panim keneged panim, so they're not bechlal bracha. That's how the Gemara says it's not right. Our practice is that the Kohanim recite the bracha before they start to duchen. So what's the bracha? So normally, I'm not a Kohen. So normally when I lay tefillin, when I put on tzitzis, whenever I do a mitzvah, I say, Asher kedoshanu b'mitzvah yisrael b'tzivanu. When the Kohanim do a mitzvah that's unique to Kohanim, let's say the Kohen does Kabbalas Adam, Halachas Adam, Zrikas Adam. Shchita, you don't need a kohen. Shchita k'sher bizar. But for the real avodas that you need a kohen, or when he eats truma, so he says, Asher kedushanu b'kedushaso shel Aharon v'tzivanu al achilas truma. He should say, kedushanu b'kedushaso shel Aharon. So the nusach that the common practices, the kohanim recite the bracha, shekedushanu b'kedushaso shel Aharon v'tzivanu v'orchaz hamisol b'ahavo. Pashtus is, we assume, that that's based on the principle, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam, mevarach aleim over las yosem. You have to always say a bracha before you're about to do the mitzvah. So the problem is that there is a Gemara Megillah, a hold off towards the end of Megillah, where the Gemara has different Talmidim and Amoraim who live to a ripe old age, and the Talmidim ask them, b'meh harach deyomim, what did you do that you were zeicha to live so long? So one of them was a kohen, so he says he was always careful to say the bracha before duchni. So the Rishonim ask a question, what's the Midas Chasidus? That's the din. You do something unusual, do something special, some Midas Chasidus. That's the regular halacha. So the Meiri has an interesting comment on that Gemara. The Meiri poses the question, what's the Midas Chasidus? So he says, this Kayan would duchen a second time by the second minion. So he's not mechuyif to duchen. Said that he duchen by the first minyan and he said, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu B'Kedushaso Shel Aharon. He's mechuyif to duchen the first time, but the second time, to duchen a second time on the same day, he's not mechuyif even midrabbanim. So that's his chiddush. Even if you duchen a second time on the same day, he still said a bracha. That's Amidas Chasidus. Because Mikra Din, he's not mechuyif at all to duchen, so maybe he's not mechuyif to say a bracha. That's really a machlekes, the Mogen Avraham quotes a machlekes achrayim. I live in Washington Heights, so there's the big minion there. It used to be the big minion of Broyers. Now it's not such a big minion. It's Peches V'Hoylech. And then there was a small minion in the Aguda Shtibel. So there were times that on Yontav there were no Kohanim at all in the Aguda. So they would ask one of the Kohanim in Broyers that he should please, they were duchen in Broyers, duchen Shachris and Musaf on Yontav. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes that the minig is we only duchen on Yontav. So Shachris, we daven Shachris every day of the year. Musaf, you only daven on Shabbos and Yontav. So the minig developed that you only duchen on Musaf on Yontav. You don't even duchen to Shachris. You only duchen to Musaf. But in Broyers, they have the minig. They have been hogging that are older than the Ramon. They claim they've been hogging precede the days of the Ramon. Okay. So so in Broyers, the Kohen duchen by Shachris in Broyers. Then he would walk across the street to the Aguda minion to duchen there as well. So that's a shaila. He's not mechuyev to duchen a second time in the same day. If he's in the same minion and he duchen by Shachris, so then in the Rabbanon he's mechuyev to duchen by Musaf. But he's not mechuyev to duchen a second time in a different minion. Even in the Rabbanon is not mechuyev. So the Magen Avraham has a machlekes achrayim. Do you say a bracha or not? If you duchen, you have a kiyum on mitzvah. Does one recite a bracha if he does a mitzvah that he's not mechuyev to do? So by us, the women recite a bracha when they shake a lulav, when they sit in the sukkah, when they listen to Tekiyah Sheikh and so on. The women always recite a bracha. So maybe you can distinguish, maybe over here, even the men are not mechuyev. No one is mechuyev to duchen a second time. The lulav, the men are mechuyev. So the women say the bracha on what the men would be mechuyev to do. But here, no one is mechuyev to duchen a second time. So it's a machlekes in the Magen Avraham. So the later poskim write, the only Rishon they found who talks about the topic is this Meiri in the end of Megillah, and the Meiri writes there that was the Midas Chasidus of this Tana, that he would duchen a second time in the same day, he would say brochas. So if that's the only Rishon who says anything, so we follow the Meiri. So if you duchen a second time, even though you're not mechuyev to, you should say brochas.
Why is it a brochas in Sricha?
Do we call it a bracha shen tzvicha when the woman says the bracha on the lulav?
No, but do they have a
kiyum mitzvah? Also here he has a kiyum mitzvah. He has a kiyum mitzvah here, but he's not mechuyev.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Netziv didn't have a mirror. The Netziv raises this question. What was the Midas Chasidus? Why was he zecha to anarichas yamim? Because he would say the bracha before he duchens. So he gives a whole maracha. Rav Soloveitchik used to enjoy saying this over every year in connection with Tekiyah Shofar. That the Balamor writes that in the days of the Gemara, they didn't say so many piyutim. It didn't take them forever to daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So They only blew shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. And if you only blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, then you don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. Why not? So he said, that's the klal. Let's say when one recites Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So why don't we recite a bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvos of tzivano l'kadesh es haShabbos? Why don't you have bracha before? Let's say a person wants to have a drink of tea. So it's a mitzvah midrabbanan to say shahakol. So before he says shahakol, we ought to say a bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvos of tzivano l'vorach al ha'ochlen. So the answer is, obviously, whenever the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in a form of a bracha, they didn't require of us, we should say another bracha in advance. So then the Balamor adds on, not only if the mitzvah is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, let's say you recite Kriya Shema. You recite Kriya Shema's psukim. But we don't say a bracha, shekadoshana b'mitzvah, yisavet zivano, likuras hashma. Why not? Because Kriya Shema is recited within the framework of brachas. There are brachas before and brachas after. It's Kriya Shema in Birchay Seho. And Tkiya Shofar also, the Takanas Chachamim was, the Balamor points out, you should blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz after Malchi Zechonis and shofar. So since the mitzvah of shofar is being fulfilled within the framework of brachas, so they never instituted another Birchas HaMitzvah. So that's what the Balamor says. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't say so many piyutim. And they only used to blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So they never said a bracha, Lishmar called shofar. I think Mar talks about Tkiya is the Miyumud, and Tkiya is the Miyushav. So the Balamor interprets the Gemara the opposite from the way we understand it. We usually assume that Tkiya is the Miyushav, but the Tkiya is before Musaf, and the Tkiya is the Me'umad is the Tkiya is in the middle of the Amidah, Tkiya is in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. So the Balamor says, no, it does mean that. The Tkiya is in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, that's called Tkiya is the Miyushav, because there's decorum in the synagogue. Everybody's sitting in their seat. And Tkiya is the Miyumad is after the Chazaras Hashatz is all over. Everybody's walking out of shul, folding up their talesim, there's a balagan in the shul, that's called Tkiya the Miyumad. So he says, they never said a brocha on Tkiya Shofar, Bizmana Gemara, unless a person doesn't go to shul. So he's blowing Shofar at home, then he has to say a brocha. But if he goes to shul and hears the Tkiya in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, there's no need for a brocha. So that's what the Nitziv quotes all of this. And then he said the same is true regarding duchening. Since the mitzvah of the Siyas Kapayim has to, the Takanas Chachamim was that you should fulfill the mitzvah within the framework of Chazaras Hashatz. So the mitzvah is being fulfilled within a series of brachas, within the framework of brachas. So then whenever Mesakan a Birchas HaMitzvah, when the Kohanim say, Asher Gershani B'Gdashos V'Shalaren, Tzivon Al Baruch HaZam Yisrael B'Yav, it's not based on the regular din of Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Baruch Aleim Moi V'Lasiyosam. It was a Hanhaga Teiva that this Tana had. He personally had this. What is Vos Pashteta Hanhaga Teiva? What is it? A Brochel of Atollah. What's the Hanhaga Teiva? So he quotes a passage from the Zohar that the Achronim quote. There's a very common meaning that on Erev Yom Kippur, the parents give brachas to their children. So the Achronim say, before you're about to give the bracha to your children, the Acharetz dictates you should say some psukim of a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should say, Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen, Amen. Baruch Hashem Mitzion, Shechen Yerushalayim HaLukah, something like that. Say a bracha of Baruch David Es Hashem VaYomer. Say a bracha, say a pasuk that says a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Derech Eretz dictates that before you're about to give a bracha to a bas of Adam, you should say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here the Kohanim are about to say Baruch Hashem Yishmerecha. So Derech Eretz dictates they should say some type of a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of introduction before they give a bracha to the bas of Adam. So this Tana had a personal hanhage. He said, Baruch Hashem Kedoshana B'Kedoshos Shalaren, etc. That's how the Netziv interprets. It's questionable. If he would have said a pasuk, that's one thing. But he said, Baruch Hashem Kedoshana B'Kedoshos, is not a brachal of Atola. That's a psachidish, what the Netziv is interpreting. But Rav Soloveitchik enjoyed saying that over because he liked that Balamor. And he liked that there's a Rabbeinu Yoina like that. The Netziv quotes Rabbeinu Yoina. On the first daf in Brochas, on the first page, in the Rif in Brochas, that when a person davens Ma'ariv Bizman, he davens Ma'ariv after Tzeisa Kachavim, so then he doesn't recite a Brocha, Shekadoshana Bim Sosu Tzivano, Likros Hashma. But if he daven Ma'ariv early, before Tzeisa Kachavim, and he has to repeat the Kriya Shema, So then he has to say a bracha, shekedeshanu b'mesosu tzvanu likros hashma. We don't paschal like that, but that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from the Rav Haigwin. So Rabbeinu Yonah says he doesn't understand. If you have to say a bracha, shekedeshanu b'mesosu likros hashma, why don't you say the bracha even if you dab mara bizman after tzeisa kohan? So the Netziv explains that this is what the Rav Haigwin meant. When you say kriya shma within the framework of the Birchas Kriya Shema, so the Chachamim would have a Mesak and a Bracha. But if you daven Ma'ariv early, then you have to repeat Kriya Shema, so then it needs a Birchas HaMitzvah. If you daven Ma'ariv Bizman, then you don't need a Birchas HaMitzvah. Rav Soloveitchik enjoyed saying this over, about this this he is saying. He used to say also, this says in the Derech HaChaim Siddur, the Nesivus wrote a Siddur, he put out a Siddur that's called Derech HaChaim. Every other page in the Mishnah Berurah, he always quotes a psak from the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he has comments on Haggadah Shal Pesach. It's called the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Now they print it separately, but in Europe it used to be printed as a part of the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So quite a few of the Divrei Torah, the Rav Soloveitchik would say on Haggadah, he would say over from the Derech HaChaim Siddur, from this Maisa Nisim Haggadah. From the Haggadah, Maisa Nisim. So the Hagdama to the Nesiva says Haggadah, he quotes that the Rishonim raise a question, how come we don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim? How come we don't say, Asher Kedushanim Sot Sitzvanu Lesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim? So he gives the answer along the lines of these Rishonim. He gives it B'Kitza. He says, whenever we fulfill a mitzvah within the framework of Brachas, the Chachamim would have a Mesakein, an additional Birchas HaMitzvah, and Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled within the framework of the four Brachas Alakos. You say Kiddush Alayayin, you say Asher Gyalonu Alakos, Birchas Lamozan Alakos, and Birchas Hashir Alakos. And then you have Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim scattered about in between. So since this mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim is being fulfilled within the framework of Brachas, so that's why the Chachamim would have a Mesakein, another Bracha in advance. Yeah. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that the Kohanim have to stand when they duchen. The Gemara says it's hukash to avoida, just like Kohanim have to stand in the Azorah when they're makariv karbonis, and if they do kabbalah sadam, halacha sadam, zrika sadam, if they do an avoida in a sitting position, not only are they in violation of the din of en yeshiva b'azorah, no one's allowed to sit in the Azorah unless he's a melech from the malchus beis David. But not only is he in violation of that din, that din may not be a din deraisa, but the avodah is possibly midyevet, the Mishnah says. If he does kabbalah sadama, zrika sadama, in a sitting position, so it's the avodah is possibly, you have to repeat it again. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that the duchening is iskish, it's hukash to avodah sakabonis, so duchening has to be bamida, so the Kohanim have to stand. Does the tzibur have to stand? That doesn't say in the Gemara. So the Rishonim say, since we need ponim keneged ponim, have to face each other, so if the Kohanim are standing, so it's self-understood that the Tzibur has to stand as well. So that's why we require everyone has to stand. The din and duchening, a lot of people violate ponim keneged ponim. That's a very common problem, that the people don't, they turn around, they're so nervous they turn around. That's exactly why the Kohanim cover their hands. The minig developed during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that the Kohanim put the talus over the hand, so you can't see the hand. So there's nothing to see. You can't even see if you try to look. The hands are covered. There's nothing to talk about. So so that's one issue that's violated. Then there's another issue that's violated all the time. I was just in Eretz Yisrael a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So they duchen every day there. Half of the Kohanim do it wrong. The din is that you need nesias kapayim. You have to lift up your hands. How high do you have to lift up your hands? So many Kohanim hold their hands very low. So the halacha says they have to hold it at least keneged kisveim, if not higher. But it has to be at least keneged their shoulders. So a lot of Kohanim, when they duchen, they're shuckling back and forth. So half the time their hands are low, half the time their hands are high, they should gesund hey, you want to shuckle or shuckle. But you have to make sure that your hands, when you're saying the psukim, the hands should be at least keneged haksefayim, or higher. That's also a very common violation. Many people, many of the Kohanim don't know that din. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that the Tana Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the chief rabbi at the time of the Churban Habayis. He was the one who was negotiating with Vespasian, and he was the chief rabbi for 40 years, the Gemara says. The Gemara says he worked for 40 years and he retired at the age of 40. It's quite an interesting idea. He retired at the age of 40. He made $1 million already. He retired at the age of 40. Then he sat and he learned from 40 to 80. Then he became the chief rabbi at the age of 80 and lived to 120. Wow. So the Gemara says that he, under his presidency, he and his bezin made 9 takonis. So one of the 9 takonis has to do with duchani. When the kohanim go up to duchan, they should remove their shoes. The kohanim should not go up his sandalim. So the Gemara gives a whole explanation. Why? Because if you have, the kohen is going to walk up with his shoes and going to realize that his shoelaces are untied. So he may stop in order to tie the shoelaces, and then they're going to duchan without him. So the people will think, oh, he just realized, he just discovered that he's a cholo. So it may come out an embarrassment. So they made a takana, they shouldn't wear any shoes. And the Paskim say in Shulchan Aruch that, strictly speaking, it's only prohibited to wear a sandal that's made from leather. If you wear sneakers, or if you wear slippers not made from leather, that's permissible. So embroiderers, that's the practice. They insist, Misham Mitam Kovar HaTzibur, that the Kohanim shouldn't walk up in their socks, they should wear shoes, and they all wear slippers, or they all wear sneakers. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries say that that is permissible. You're allowed to do that. At the conclusion of the duchening, the Gemara...
Sneakers with laces would be the same problem.
Sneakers with laces ought to be the problem. That's what the whole takana... So the Achrayim say it's mutter. The reason why they made a takana was because of the shoelaces, but the takana was not to go with sandal, and sandal means a leather sandal. So if it's not leather, even though it has shoelaces, so many Achrayim say that it is mutter. So some of the Kohanim Mebroyas will wear sneakers that have... laces on them, relying on the, what the many poskim say, that that's not a problem. Even though the reason should apply, but they never made the takana on that. Then the Gemara in the end of Bracha says that at the conclusion of the duchening, if a person had a frightening dream, he should say a tefillah. So we have the nusach, it's basically, it appears in the Gemara, we have the nusach. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the minhag always was, that you say this, Ribbono Shalom Ani Shalach V'Chal Moser Shalach Chalom Chalamta Ben Adei Amahu, you say that Nusach after the first Pasuk, after the second Pasuk, after the third Pasuk, after the first Pasuk ends, Re'ach Hashem V'Yishmer Echo, so at the end of the Tefillah, at the end of that Tchina, you would say V'Sishmereini. The second Pasuk, the Kohanim says, Yor Hashem Ponim Alecha V'Yichu Neko, so you would end off, Usuch Haneini. The third Pasuk ends, of Yisra Hashem Ponim Alecha V'Yasem L'Cho Shalom, so they would end off Visir Tzeni. That used to be the old minhag. Then the Hasidim came and they changed it and they introduced a whole new tefillah from some Hasidish siddur. But the Gemara has a different tefillah. So even in the Art Scroll, the Hasidim won, even in the Art Scroll edition. So you only say the tefillah for the Chalayim is after the first Pasuk and the second Pasuk. And by the third Pasuk, you say the Hasidish tefillah. But what happened to, you don't say Visir Tzeini. So they changed the minhag, so you say both times that you do say the tefillah, you say Visir Shmereini, Ischanene, Visir Tzeini. But that was not the minhag. The minhag used to be that at the conclusion of the first Pasuk, you only end off Visir Shmereini. At the conclusion of the second Pasuk, you say Ischanene. At the conclusion of the third Pasuk, you say Visir Tzeini. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Vilna Gaon thought we shouldn't follow the Hasidim. Vilna Gaon felt that whatever the Chassidim do by definition is wrong. So he said, you should say the tefillah that it says in the Gemara. In the back of the Gemara Brachas, they have comments from different Gedolim, the Vilna Shas. So they say that, they quote from the Sefer Chassidim, from other Svarim, when you're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not proper to give titles to human beings. Let's say it's someone's yahrzeit, or it's Kel Molei Rachmim, someone died, so you say a tefillah. They say, Harav Agoyen, the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're talking to Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't describe a human being as Harav Agoyen HaTzadik. You just say, Pliny. Pliny. I remember at my father's funeral, so they had different people speak. So Dr. Lamb knew my father, so he said it has been. Mr. Joel was the president, so he didn't know my father. So he didn't know what to say. So he has a nice voice. So they said he should say the Kelmal Rachman. So we told him, he says Kelmal Rachman. He shouldn't say Harav, he should just say El Melech Ben Moshe. So the people will think that it's a Bizoyan. So after he finished the Kelmal Rachman, so Rabbi Chalap got up and he said that it says in Nachranim that you shouldn't say Harav. You should just say Pliny Ben Pliny, it's not right. So in the tefillah that we have after the duchening, so you say Chalam Yosef Shal Yosef Hatzadik, and you say Moshe Rabbeinu, and you say Miriam Hanaviyah. So the Achranim say it's not right to give all these titles. You should say Yosef, don't say Yosef Hatzadik. You shouldn't say Moshe Rabbeinu. When you're speaking to Rabbeinu Shlomo, you don't give titles to the human beings. That's what some of the Achranim in the back of the Gemara have like that. The Mishnah Berurah is not happy the way we have the practice. The Kohanim say Yerechecha Hashem, and then there's a long pause to give everybody a chance to say the tefillah about the chalaimis. Then the Kohanim finally say V'yishmerecha, Yehovah Hashem Panav Elecha, and there's a long pause. Then they say V'yichu Nekla. So the Gemara has an issue of Shoha Kadei Ligmar Skula. Whenever there's a mitzvah, Kriyas HaMegillah, or Kriyas Shema, or Tkiyas Shofar, a mitzvah that takes a while. So if you're going to pause in the middle so long that you could have done the whole mitzvah from the beginning to the end, let's say you're in the Shemana Esrei. So how long does it take the whole Shemana Esrei from the beginning to the end? Whatever, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, I don't know however long. So if you pause so long that Shok, the Ligma Skuli, could have davened the whole Shemana Esrei from the beginning to the end, so that's L'chatchila for sure, that's not right. That constitutes a hefsek. And then B'diyevet, sometimes it is a hefsek, sometimes it's not, that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. When is it even considered a hefsek B'diyevet? Now you have to daven over again. So the Mishnah Berurah is unhappy why the minhag olam is that you pause between Yerech Hashem V'yishmerecha, you pause so long, the Kohanim could have said all the three psukim in that amount of time. So isn't that an issue of Shok Deleik Maskul? So he writes, if you're in a place where the minhag is not clear, you should let the Kohanim finish V'yishmerecha and then say the tefillah for the chalaimas. People ask.
Also
a problem. Yeah, shok delig makul is only a problem within a pasuk. The whole duchening is one mitzvah to say the three pesukim. So what does it help if the shok delig makul is in between the first pasuk and the second pasuk? It's still a problem of shok delig makul. I don't really understand what the Mishnah Berurah accomplished by that. What do you mean if you're a place where the minig is not clear? The minig is clear. All that means if you can get away with it. If you can get away with it, you should change the minhag. But that's some rabbanim, when they found the new kehillah, so they tell them from day number one, what we're going to duchen, we're going to have the tefillah for the chalaim is going to be in between the first pasuk and the second pasuk because of this Mishnah Berurah. But I don't really understand why the Mishnah Berurah thinks that he gained anything by that. It seems very difficult. Then the Gemara has a din that just like a kohen who drank wine is not allowed to be makav karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, so too a kohen shoshoser aviyus is not allowed to duchening, because duchening is hukash to avoida. The shorso of the varach bishmo. Just like one kohen shoshoser yayin is not supposed to be makav karbonis, a kohen shosui is not allowed to duchen either. Then the Gemara says, really, it's a hekesh between duchening and avoida, so what if a kohen is a balmum? A balmum is not allowed to duchen, so the Gemara gives a whole drasha. A balmum is okay, and shasa revius is not okay. So many Rishonim hold that the whole shasa revius is only with the Rabbanim. That this chilik between a balmum and a shasa yayin is only with the Rabbanim. Some Rishonim hold that it's really minat Torah. But al kalpanim, a balmum is permitted to duchen. But the Mishnah has a Megillah, a takana de Rabbanim, koin sheesh lamumim, b'pon of yadav, v'raglov, lo yisa es kapla, even though minat Torah he should duchen, yesh kach b'yar chacham lakadov minat Torah b'shei v'al ta'aseh. So just like if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they did away with the tkiya shofar, because they're concerned shem e'averen adal ramas, and other things like that. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment made from linen, so the chacham made a takana, you're not allowed to put in tzitzis, because you may put in tzitzis shel tzemer, with trelis, and it may be possible of trelis, and may turn out to be shatnas shalobu maka mitzvah. So to over here, they made a takana de rabbanon to be yoke the din of duchening. If a kohen has mumne b'panav yadav v'rachel, even though he said kohanim, and we asked him to please go duchen, he shouldn't duchen, because since he has mumne b'panav yadav v'rachel, he may draw attention to his hands, and that's not proper. It's not right for the tzibba to look at the hands of the kohanim. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in his commentary on the Rambam in the Kesa Mishneh, he writes, Yesh, his topic, what's the din b'zman hazeh? That they just started a new meaning, that the kohanim cover their hands with the talis, so you can't see the kohanim's hands even if he tried to. So does this din still apply? That if a kohen has mumin, the pun of Yad Raglav, he shouldn't do it. He's not sure. By the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, apparently later, he wrote the Kesa Mishnah, the commentary on the Rambam earlier, and the Shulchan Aruch he wrote later, so he decided that it does not apply. So he writes that that din doesn't apply, that since Bisman is at the kohanim cover the hands, so even though they have a mumin, the ponim b'yodav ragba, they're permitted to duch. That's how we paskin. So this is really a surprising psak of the Shulchan Aruch, because we usually have a klal that kol davish of the minyan, tzorach minyan achan atira. Whenever the Bezdin made a takana de rabbanon, a gzera de rabbanon, because of a certain reason, a certain consideration, even if you live in a generation where the consideration doesn't apply anymore, the gzera de rabbanon still applies. In the minhagim, there is no such din. If there's a minig that's based on a certain practice, based on a certain consideration, doesn't apply. Take, for example, in Hilchos Pesach. In Hungary and in Germany, there were areas that on Pesach they wouldn't eat chicken, period. Why? Because in the days of the Balei HaTesvos, there was an issue that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. They used to feed grain to the chickens. They used to soak the grain in water, and the chickens would eat it. And then when you cook a chicken, they would cook the whole chicken with the belly. We never cook with the belly. They cut out the belly. You don't even get the belly. So they would cook the whole chicken with the belly, and then when they would start to eat the chicken, they would find that there were kernels of grain that were cooking in the burning hot water, and it was a chashash, maybe it became chametz, and maybe the whole thing is now has a belia of chametz. So they developed a minig, you don't eat chicken at all. You only eat flesh on Pesach. So the Rabbanim said in recent years, I remember Rabbi Schwab spoke about this, but other Rabbanim have it also, that the Bizman Hazeh, it's too expensive. Nobody feeds grain to the chickens anymore. They feed them maize, corn on the cob. They feed maize. Maize, the worst it can be is kidneys, if it's kidneys, but that's all it's going to be. If it's kidneys, the worst it is that you take it out. It does nasa, you don't need shishim, you just need roib. So it's always going to be bottled roib. So the whole reason for the minig doesn't apply, so the minig falls apart by itself. This halacha, dovish of the minyan, tzach minyan achan atiroi, is only if there was a real gzera de rabbonim. But if there's a minig, the asa something because of a certain consideration, and you live in a generation that consideration doesn't exist anymore, so the whole minig just falls apart by itself. So this is a shaila. How can Rabbi Yosef Kara throw out a Mishnah Megillah? The Mishnah has a din mid the rabbonim. The kohanim who have mumin, the part of yad v'raglav, are not allowed to duchen, and may draw attention to his hands. So what does it help? That bizman hazeh. The kohanim all cover over the hands, but there should be a dovish of the minyan, tzach minyan achalat tirai. So there's a very fascinating tshuva by the author of the Mishkan as Yankov. Most of his tshuvas are in his sefer, that's good. His sefer that are called Mishkan as Yankov. Then he has additional tshuvas in a smaller sefer, thinner sefer, that's called Koheles Yankov. So there was a big debate when they used to print svarim years ago. So the rabbanim used to make a cherem. Let's say one publishing firm would print a Rashba, print a Gemara, print a Rambam. So the rabbanim would make a cherem. No other publishing firm is allowed to print a Rambam or Rashba for the next 5 years. Why? To give the first one a chance to sell all the copies that he had, because he's investing money over here, and in case someone else is going to print it, and he's going to be left with all the swarm, he's not going to want to invest in printing anything else. So he wanted to encourage people to go into printing swarim, so they used to make such a chair. So what happened was, there was, I already forgot which publishing firm it was, one publishing firm, the Slavita Shas, with another one, I forgot, maybe the Vilna, I forgot already who it was, maybe it was the Vilna Shas. So the one publishing firm printed a shas, and no one else was allowed to print for 5 years. But within 3 years, they sold everything. They had nothing left. So they have another 2 years. No one else has a right to print another shas. So they printed another edition of the shas. And they said, no one else has a right to print for another 2 years. So the other, I think the Slavita, they heard that they sold everything out. They made another edition. So the cherem is over already. They already sold everything they had. So they printed an edition of the shas, and they were selling it. So there was a whole din Torah over here. What's the issue? It's a davar shebiminyan. The rabbanim signed a cherem. No one's allowed to print another shas in 5 years. But the whole reason for the cherem was that the first company should make money. They should break even. They should make money. So it paid for them. So they already sold everything that they had. So why? How can you say it's also for the other people? But they never wrote that in the cherem. They just wrote, no one's allowed to print the shas for 5 years. But the reason for the cherem was obvious. So maybe when the reason doesn't apply, maybe the cherem doesn't apply. That was the shaila. And the other said, no, it's a davar shebiminyan. So there was a whole din Torah. Rabbi Kevega was involved. And they were saying Rabbi Kevega is senile. And his son is a crook. Rabbi Shlomo Eger is a crook. And he wound up his father. So Rabbi Kevega cursed him. He said, I'm not senile. And my son is not a crook. And he didn't wind me up, and I gave the psak without him. Rabbi Chaim, everybody was involved in this din Torah. So there's a knockout tshuva. There are two tshuvas by the Mishkan and Siyankiv. The first two tshuvas in Chevel Chashem Mishpat and the Sefer Kohelos Yankiv. So he quotes, there's a tshuvas HaRosh. The Rosh originally lived in Germany, and he learned the Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. And Maharam Rutenberg was put in prison by the government just to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. And he told them that they're not allowed to pay the money. They should let him rot in prison. He passed them, they should let him rot. And he said, even after he dies, they shouldn't be paid to his dead body. He said that they didn't listen to him. So Kol Zman he was alive, they didn't pay to him. And after he died, one balabas put up the money and they freed his dead body. And that balabas who violated the instruction that he gave, his reward was that when he died, he was buried next to the Maharam Rutenberg. Okay. So when the Maharam Rutenberg died in prison, so the Rosh realized, I'm going to be the next one. They'll put me in prison, and they'll hold up the community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. He stayed by the Rashba 10 days, and then he got a rabbonis in Toledo. So you had this Yeke who speaks Yiddish, and he's speaking to Sfardim. They don't understand a word of German, and he's talking to them. And he introduced all the Ashkenazi minhagim, the glatt kosher, all the kunzen that the Ashkenazim had, he introduced by the Sfardim. And then later on, when these Sfardim ran away in the late 1490s, when they had to run away to different countries, so they introduced all the Ashkenazi minhagim. They thought these were Sfardish minhagim. They introduced all these Ashkenazi minhagim to Morocco and to other communities also. All the menhagim that the Rosh introduced there. So the Rosh writes in a tshuva, the tour quotes, the Rosh writes in a tshuva, he came to Spain, a new phenomenon, he never saw it before, that people are wearing an arba kamfas with tzitzis that's made from linen. So he says, Hayitochen is against the Gemara, it's a machlekes b'shamay b'sil. This is one of the cases, six cases, where we pass like b'shamay, that there's a gzera midrabon, and you're not permitted to put tzitzis at all. Not allowed to put tzitzis in a begon shel pishton, because he may put in tcheles, and tcheles, he's supposed to put in tcheles, and tcheles has to be wool. The thread, the string of tcheles has to be wool. And there were fakers in the days of the Tanaim. There were crooks who were selling imitation tcheles. It's very hard to tell. Is it indigo? Is it kloilon? Or is it real tcheles? So they would be selling posel tcheles and claiming that it's real kosher tcheles. And it came out that people were wearing shatnas, that beged was linen, and a chut of tcheles was tzemer, so it was shatas, and it was shalob makam mitzvah, because it was imitation tcheles, and it was pasul, so there was no need to have shatas there. So there was no heter. So the Bishamah made exerid rabbanan, a beggar shal pishton, you're not allowed to put in tzitzis, period. So he comes, the Rosh, moves to Spain, he sees all the balabatim are wearing arba kamfas of linen. So he says, isn't it against halacha? So they explained to him, no, the whole reason for the gzera was because in the days of the Tanaim they had tcheles. Now nobody has any tcheles. So the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply. So therefore the gzera doesn't apply. The whole rationale for the gzera doesn't apply. So the Taz asked the Kasher, but it's not Hadobish of Dominion, so I mean, Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzera Derabbanan for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation that the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera Derabbanan still applies. So the Taz says, that's, look in the Rosh carefully. The Rosh came to answer that question. That's why the Rosh writes this, and he quotes the rest of the Rosh. You don't understand what the answer is. The Rosh just writes the same thing over again. That he realized that they're right in Spain, that the Gzera was made for this reason. The reason doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera doesn't apply. But it's a question of Dovish Dominion. So it's very unclear. So the Mishkan HaSyankin has this tshuva. He says like this. There are cases in the Gemara where the Gemara has Gzera Derabbanan, and whenever the reason doesn't apply, the Gemara says the whole Gzera doesn't apply. So, but Ruba de Ruba, most of the time it's not like that. Most of the time we call that a Dovish HaBeminyan, Tzorach Minyan Achal Atira. So when do you say whenever the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera falls apart, and when do you say no, the Gzera still remains? So he says, call the Tikkun Rabbanan came there Isa Tikkun. All the Dinim de Rabbanan were patterned after the mitzvahs there Isa. So Ruba de Ruba of the mitzvahs in the Chumash, it doesn't say the reason next to the mitzvah. It's very few cases that the Torah will write a mitzvah and it give the reason right next to it. So whenever you have a pasuk that has a mitzvah and it has the reason for the mitzvah, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah does not apply. Whenever you have a pasuk that has a mitzvah and it doesn't give the reason, and the Chachamim tell you what the reason is, that's a machlekes hatanaim, whether dashin and time of the krah or loy dashin and time of the krah. It's always a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to try to figure out what are the reasons for the mitzvahs? What's the moral, ethical, or religious lesson that the Torah is trying to teach us by giving us this mitzvah? The Gemara says, how come a ganav pays kefil and a gazlan does not pay kefil? How come tovach mocha bashor baseh? Chamisha boker shan tachas hashav, arbat shan tachas haseh? How come this is chamisha, this is arba? The Gemara gives reasons for mitzvahs, but the Chumash doesn't give these reasons. So it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah trying to teach us. But is it one of the midrash HaTorah that Reshes Mem? Do you say, Darshin and Taimed the Kro, the reason for the mitzvah, the Tamei HaMitzvahs, is that a drosha that regulates the application of the mitzvah? That whenever the Tamei HaMitzvah doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's a machlokes. Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, Rab Shimon is of the opinion, Darshin and Taimed the Kro. The Rabbanim have to figure out what's the reason for every mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. We don't accept his opinion. So we only say, like him, Dashin Atayim Nikro, and those rare psukim, when you have a pasuk, a mitzvah, and it gives you the reason. Like, for example, it says, when someone dies, you have to bury him the same day. Why? Because it says it's a bizoyan ames, kikilas elikim tolui. So the Gemara says, what if you're left over today? Usually you don't bury a person the same day. You want to call up their friends and their neighbors and their relatives, and they have to come from Eretz Yisrael, and people come from South Africa, they come from all over. If you're going to have the Levaya the same day before the Shkia, no one's going to show up. People are at work, they can't take off in the middle of the day. So if you usually postpone the funeral a day or two in order to have more people come, how are you permitted to do that? So the Achranim say, because the Pasuk has the din and it has the reason. You shouldn't do halanas ames, kikilas elekim tol, because it's a bizoyan to man who is created b'tzelem elekim. But if helineu lechvodo, if the halanas ames is to gain more covered ames, then it is permissible, because the Torah writes the reason next to the Pasuk, or there's a machlokes hatanoim in the second parak in Sanhedrin. The Pasuk says, le'abel anoshim, the melech is not allowed to marry more than 18 wives, because they may cause him to sin. So one Tana is of the opinion that v'loyasos levavai is the reason for le'abel anoshim. We don't pass like that. We pass in le'abel anoshim is semicolon, that's one love. V'loyasos levavai is not allowed to marry one girl if she's not a fruma girl. But one Tana holds no, v'loyasos levavai is the reason for the din. So he says, if the melech wants to marry a 19th wife who's there, Afruma, so that's permissible. One Tana holds that's permissible, because that's the pasuk gives the reasons. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole din doesn't apply. But Ruba, the Ruba of the mitzvahs in the Chumash, you don't have the reason written next to the pasuk. So the same is true on the level of the Rabbanan. Ruba, the Ruba of the Gzeres the Chachamim made, they didn't incorporate the Tamak Gzera into the Nusach Gzera. The Gemara said they wouldn't be modia. Whenever they made Gzera Derabanan, they wouldn't tell anybody what the reason was for a whole year. If you're going to give the reasons, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will say, I know that. I know the dinim. I'm not going to fall in. I'm not going to make a mistake. I know what's mut. I know what's asa. So they won't observe the Gzera Derabanan. So Ruba Deruba of the case is the Chachamim did not they didn't even publicize the reason. Not only they didn't incorporate the Tam HaGzeira into the Nusach HaGzeira, they didn't even tell anybody what the reason was for the Gzeira until after a year was up. And in rare cases, when they made the Gzeira the Rabbanon, they would say, you're not allowed to do this because of this and this reason. They would include the Tam HaGzeira into the Nusach HaGzeira. So that's what the Mishkan HaSiyankim says, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came there, I said Tikkun. The dinim derabanan, a pattern after the dinim deraisa. Whenever there's a din deraisa that has the reason incorporated right next to the din, then whenever the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. Ruba the ruba of the mitzvahs, you don't have the reason written next to the din. So you say, loy dashin and time in the krah. The reason for the mitzvah is not from midrash ha'tar and adreshes, but that it should regulate the application. So then the Mishkan HaSiyankim explains, that's what the Rosh added on. Whenever you have a Gzera Derabanan, Bakiras Dovman on Torah, the Torah says you have to put tzitzis on a beged, on a four-cornered beged. If it's a beged shel pishtun, you have to put on tzitzis. So the Chachamim are making a Gzera connected what it says in the Chumash. It says in the Chumash you do have to put on tzitzis. So they're oiker, they're making a Gzera Bakiras Dovman on Torah. So you can't make a Gzera like that unless you incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So if the Tam HaGzera is part of the Nusach HaGzera, if you live in a generation where there is no Trelis, the whole Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera doesn't apply. So that's what the Mishkan HaSiyankim says, to make a Gzera Derabonon that no one's allowed to publish a Shas in the next 5 years, that's really Akira's Dov Ben HaTorah. We want more publishing firms to print more Svarim, so more Svarim should be available. You have more Svarim around. So it's really a gzera b'akiras dov min haTorah. So no bezin has the right to make such a gzera, even though in the nusach that they printed, they just said no one's allowed to print the shas for the next 5 years. But it's self understood that the tam gzera has to be included into the gzera. It says no one's allowed to print the shas for the next 5 years, so that the first publishing firm will be able to break even and make extra profit. So it paid off for them to print the sefer. But after they already broke even, they sold everything that they had. So the whole gzera is off. So that's what you have to say over here also. The Mishnah has a gzera mederabanan that a kohen who has mumim b'pon of yad baraglov is not allowed to duchen. In our Torah, there is no such thing. A kohen who is a bal mum does have to duchen. It's a gzera mederabanan. Even though in our Torah is mechuyev to duchen, they say please kohanim. They're giving a tzibur, please duchen. So mederabanan, we don't permit him to duchen. It's akiras mitzvah in our Torah because we're afraid. Maybe the people it'll draw attention. He has some kind of a major mum. They'll draw attention to his hands. So the Beis Yosef says, but if you live in a generation that they can't cover over their hands, the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply. And since it's a gzera b'akiras dov min haTorah, this kind of gzera, you have to incorporate the tam gzera into the nusach gzera. So if that's the nature of the gzera, whenever the tam doesn't apply, so the whole gzera doesn't apply.
By a beged that's linen, why did they make a gzera stam not to put on tzitzis? Why didn't they just say you can't put a woolen tzitzis? Why didn't they say you should put a cotton tzitzis or some other
tzitzis? Tosis raises that question. Why didn't they make a gzera that you shouldn't put on trelis? The whole chashash is to put on trelis. They should have said you only put on lavan. Don't put on trelis. So Tosis says it wouldn't work. If the people are going to know you don't put chelis, you only put lavan, then the next generation, they're going to say, everybody puts on tzitzis, so we're going to put in tzitzis with the chelis. Chelis was always very expensive. So not everybody could afford to have chelis. Most of the people wore tzitzis without chelis. So if the guy just going to make a gzera, you shouldn't put in chelis, you should only put in lavan, next generation will be forgotten. They didn't write everything. Today, everybody prints everything. But in the days of the Tanoim, when they made the Gzeres, they didn't print any Torah about that. So they're going to make a Gzeres, not to put Trelis. It's going to be forgotten. So, because the people are going to put love on the next generation, they'll put Trelis. So Tosha said they felt compelled to make a Gzeres. You can't put any tzitzis at all.
So what about my idea to put on Trelis and love on, just not wool, make it cotton?
Cotton chutim is only good if the beged is cotton. But here we're talking the beged is pishtun, the beged is linen.
But
The string of the trellis has to be tzemer. So if the beged.
So wouldn't we, even on a beged of.
Oh, would, yeah, it wouldn't help. Right. It wouldn't help anything, yeah. The trellis strings have to be tzemer, yeah. The trellis strings have to be tzemer, yeah. I mentioned that before. Trellis strings have to be a certain color and it has to be a certain material, yeah.
Can I ask a question about you previously mentioned about a title, making titles, you know, a rab or whatever?
Yes, and a tefillah.
By Birkas HaChola, and he's a
Kohen
or a lady, should that be mentioned in the
Birkas HaChola? In the days of the Tanaim, when they would write a get, let's say, so they wouldn't write HaKohen HaLevi unless there were two people in the same city with the same name, Reuven and Yaakov. So one is a Kohen, one is not. So then they would write HaKohen HaLevi. But over the generations, we have developed the practice that we always write HaKohen HaLevi. To the extent that some of the Paschim say, let's say a Kohen is getting divorced, and you wrote a get, and you didn't, you forgot to write HaKohen. So it's the wrong description of the person. It's like you wrote the wrong name. As far as that the get is possible, because we always write HaKohen HaLevi. So we don't consider HaKohen HaLevi as a title, like a Rav HaKohen. That's part of his name.
Chaim
Ben Esther,
let's say.
Yeah.
Chaim Ben Esther, so
he's
a Kohen.
She's
his Chaim.
Chaim HaKohen Ben Esther.
You should say that.
Yeah.
Rabbi, is by Duchenin, is that the only place where they make a chiluk by mumen, by a Kohen, what type of mumen is in certain parts of the body?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, generally, it would be a mumen anywhere wouldn't allow him to bring a carbon. Right?
Correct. So the Gemara says, even though we compare duchening to hakravas karbanas, right, that if he drinks wine, he can't duchen, but if he's a bal mum, he may duchen. Any mum, he may duchen in Atara. And with the Rabbana, they singled out certain mumen that may draw attention, because we don't want anyone to look at the hands of the Kohanim, so a mum that'll draw attention.
The new takana that they cover the hands wouldn't help a Kohen who has a mum on his feet.
No, but the mum in the feet is not a problem if you look at the feet. It's only a problem, he may draw, let's say he has a wooden leg,
right,
and he takes off his shoes, so everybody's going to see the wooden leg. So the look at the wooden leg is not a problem, but once they're looking at the wooden leg, they're probably going to look at his hands also. But if his hands are covered, so there's nothing to look at. You can't see anything.
Doesn't the continuation of the Gemara Megillah itself answer the question on the Beis Yosef? It says if it's not going to distract the tzibur, it's not an issue. It sounds like if the whole point of tikkun is mevatel, it's not an issue. Isn't that the answer?
Whenever the Gemara is kemat beferish, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the gzera doesn't apply. That is correct. Yeah, the Gemara says if he dosh beiro, yeah, everybody knows that he's missing a finger, so they're used to it. So it won't draw attention, right?
And nowadays, there's more of a trend that people wear certain types of socks called happy socks, that they're socks that are meant to like gain attention. They're like very, very colorful, polka dots, and that sort. So would it be an issue for a client to wear these socks to draw them different?
Before the days of the Beis Yosef, it would have been an issue. But now that they cover the hand, so you can do whatever you want. Now there's nothing to see anyway, yeah? Rabbi Yankev Emden was unhappy about this whole minig. He says, you need ponim, can I get ponim? So if I want to carry on a conversation, I put a talus in front of my face and you don't see me. So he thinks the whole minig is not proper. But the minig has survived since the 1500s, over 500 years old. And we're not worried about that. We do consider it ponim keneged ponim.
What's the tzibur covers their face anyway, so you don't have ponim on?
Some tzibur cover their face. Most do not. Most people do not cover their face. The Mishnah Berurah writes, a chilek between Poland and Lithuania. I forgot already which way. He lived in Poland. So he says, he says in one of their countries, the Kohanim covered their face and their hands were exposed. They covered their face and they shouldn't look at their hands. You have a problem, so you figure out. The tzibur's around, let them figure out what they're going to do. And then he says in Lithuania, the meaning is that they cover their hands, so you can't see anything. The Beis Yosef says the meaning was they cover their hands. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, during his lifetime, 100 years ago, over 100 years ago, when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, so there were two minhagim in Europe. Some communities, the Kohanim only covered their faces, and the hands were exposed. And other communities, they covered their hands, so the tzibur couldn't see anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you recommend the double? Recommend the double that you cover the face and the hands?
Right, right. That's a minhag. They have the talus in between their face and the hands so they can't see, and then they have it over their hands so the tzibur can't see the hands. They solve the both issues. Neither they should look at the hands nor the tzibur should look at the hands. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's the exact issue or issur of people looking at the Kohanim's hands?
The Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash when they were duchen, the Shekhinah would be showing their hands, and that's highly improper to look at their hands. And because of the Beis HaMikdash, even Bigvulan also, it's not right to look at their hands. But the real issur is only in the Beis HaMikdash.
And that's when they were being doing duchenim?
When the duchenim, yeah.
I wasn't talking about the avodas in Beis HaMikdash.
About what?
I wasn't talking about when they were doing the avodas in Beis HaMikdash.
No. When they were duchenim, so the shechina would be on their hands, right? So the Beis HaMikdash, it's iser. That's not proper to look at the hands. The Mishnah in Brachos has a takana derabbanan that if the shliach tzibur, if the chazan is a kohen, he should not duchen. The chazan is, they didn't have sidurim. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have sidurim. Even after they wrote down the Mishnayis, the Pashtus is that the Rashi doesn't write like this, but the Pashtus in the history books, they have rise like this. Mishnayis were not written down until the days of Ravina Ravashi. Ravina Ravashi edited the Talmud Bavli, but it wasn't written down until a few centuries later, in the days of the Gaonim, and there was a big dispute whether they should write it down. The mazel was that they won out, and they did write down the Talmud Bavli. Otherwise, everything would have been forgotten. By the time Talmud Bavli was written down, they weren't sure what Ravina Ravashi said. So you have different versions of what they said. Obviously, it wasn't written by Ravina Ravashi. So that's what the history books assume, that the Mishnayos were, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnayos, but it's still being recited bal peh, until the days of Ravina Ravashi. And then Ravina Ravashi edited the Talmud Bavli, but that wasn't written down until the days of the Gaonim, and they have the documents. The Gaonim had a machloikis, should be write down the Talmud Bavli, and they finally did write it down. They didn't write down the Siddur till later, the Siddur of Rav Sadia Gaon. And then the Machzor was written down later. The Baal HaMor writes, when he was growing up, they had no Machzor. So the people had a daven by heart. So he says, they didn't know who knew Malchus Chana Shofes by heart. So whoever was the Shliach Tzibur had to know how to say it by heart. But the Tzibur didn't know. So he writes on Rosh Hashanah by Musaf, they would say, Memtein chatoina galinim yatzeinim nesachak me'al enach necholim lasus chaviseinu, like a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, they said. And they said the korbanos for Rosh Hashanah. And when the chazan said the chazara sashatz, he had to know balpeh, the malchus on the sherpes, with all the psukim of the whole nusach. But the tzibur didn't know that, so the tzibur, when they offered tefillah belachash, they said shmoneh esrei of seven brochas, like on a normal musaf of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the chazan did the chazara sashatz. And then the Baal HaMor writes, when he grew older, then the gedolim allowed the writing down of the machzor, so then everybody had a machzor, and they all said the malchus chana shofes. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over, that mi'ikar adin, the nusach hatvila is a chelik of the Torah shebal peh. So you're not supposed to write down the Torah shebal peh. So that's when the days of the Tanaim, the Siddur had to be recited bal peh. So the Mishnah in Brachos has, if the shliach tzibur is a kohen, he's going to say the Chazara Sashatz, and he's going to turn around and say Duchen, and then he's going to turn around again and finish the Chazara Sashatz. He's going to get all confused. He's going to get all mixed up. So we don't allow him to Duchen. We don't allow him to Duchen, even if he's the only one, even if he's the only coin, or even if there's only one other coin, he'll make it two. And if you have two coins, then it's Duchening deraisa. So if he's not going to Duchen, it's only going to be Duchen derabanan. We don't let him duchen. But it says, if he's batuach, if he knows for sure that he's not going to get confused, how can you know for sure? You have a siddur. Bizman says, you know for sure. You have a siddur. He's davening everything it says in the siddur. Then he turns around and he says a duchen. Then he turns around and he goes back to the siddur and he says the rest. So if haptachasai, if he knows for sure he's not going to make a mistake, then we do allow him to duchen. So the Tosfos Yontov on the Mishnayos quotes a big machloikas achreinim, how to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the chazan who's a kohen is not allowed to duchen. And even if he's the only kohen, and even if he's going to make it two, you don't let him duchen. Unless haftachasa, he's sure he's not going to make a mistake, then we do. So is that, what if they have 10 Kohanim? 10 Kohanim are duchening. They don't need him. So do you say if you have 10 Kohanim, even if he's batuach, that he's not going to make a mistake, he should not duchen? The Mishnah only says, even if he's the only one, you don't let him duchen, unless he's sure he's not going to make a mistake. So that only goes if he's the only one, or he's going to make a two. But he said, no, even if you have 15 Kohanim without him, if he knows he's not going to make a mistake, you do let him duchen. So they come and practice in Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. So let's say a person is in Avela, say, Davin's Farnomen. The man is in Avela, this is a Kohen, so he Davin's every day Farnomen, he duchens every day. And they have another 10 Kohanim in the shul. So the common practice today is that even if they have 10 Kohanim without him, he knows he's not going to make a mistake, that he does duchen with them. And I think most of the Achrayim hold not so. But the Minhag Olam in Eretz Yisrael is not like most of the Achrayim. Most Achmanim hold that the only time you're allowed a chazan to duchen is if he has a sitter and he knows he's not going to make a mistake, and he's the only kohen to duchen, or he's going to make it into two, he's going to make it into duchening the rice.
Doesn't have to do with the question whether it could be motzi, one coin could be motzi another coin?
That was also a cheerful big machlekes, yes. When the Vilna Shas was printed, there were two Dayonim and Vilna brothers, Reb Talo Vilna, Reb Shlomo de Vilna. So Reb Talo Vilna writes in the first sefer that he wrote, turned out that was the only sefer, Reshis Bikurim. He called the Reshis Bikurim, this is his first sefer. As it turns out, that's the only sefer that he wrote. So he writes, he visited in Trieste in Italy, and they heard that he's a kohen, so they said, and they duchen every day. So they said, they're going to be mechaber him to duchen. He said, what do you mean, Mechabit? All the Kohanim have to duchen. He said, no, their minigin is only one Kohen, says the Psukim. The other Kohanim stand there and they're Yotze with Shemei Kohenah. So they're going to be Mechabit him, because he was the Tam Chochem. He should say, Yerech Hashem Yishmerech, and the other should be Yotze with Shemei Kohenah. So he wondered where they get such a strange minig from. He never heard of such a thing. Then he looked back in the Gemara. He said, there's a Mishnah Megillah that no one ever knew Pshat. No one explains it. That's a Beferish and Mishnah. He said, this minig must have been in the days of the Tanoim, that only one of the Kohanim said the Duchening, and the others were Yotze with Shemei Kohenah. So the Beis HaLevi wants to disagree with Rabbi Tzalo Vilna, so he doesn't want to mention him by name. So he says, a new Sefer just came out, and he says that he can be Yotze, he can be Moitze, the other Kohanim with Shemei Kohenah by the Duchening. So he says it's not correct, it's against the Din. He gives a whole explanation why he thinks that it's wrong. So the Netziv, for a while, was the Korosh Yeshiva and Valojin with the Beis HaLevi. So he doesn't want to disagree with the Beis HaLevi by name. So he says, a new Sefer just came out. And he says, he can't be Moitzi someone else with Shemei Ka'ayna by Duchening for a certain reason. So he says, that reason is wrong. He says, he thinks the Din is correct, but for a different reason. So bottom line, it's usually assumed like the Netziv and the Beis HaLevi, they give two different reasons why you shouldn't say Shemei Ka'ayna. They say that in Trieste, the reason why they had that practice, that only one, it's not based on the Mishnah. They say because they had a lot of chalolim, that a lot of situations where the kohen would marry grushas, or the kohen would marry giyoris, so the children would be chalolim. So they're not really kohanim, so they'll say brachol avatol if they duchen. So that's why they say among the fifth aminik, that only one kohen who's a vadai kohen, Tam Chochem, who's a vadai kohen, not a chalol, would say the broche and would say the duchening, and the others would just stand there because of chalolim. But it's not because of Rabbi Tzal Vilna's Mishnah and Megillah. So I wanted to run through some of the dinim of the duchening. Most of the dinim, some of them are violated. We don't always observe. The Tur writes in the days of the Gemara. There, with the Gemara says in Soita, there was a practice that when the Kohanim would duchen, when they say Yivarechecha, so in the Siddur it tells you which pasuk that Tzibur should say. When he says Hashem, which pasuk we should say? V'yishmerech, what pasuk we say? And then the Gemara said, we do the same when the Chazan says Chazor Sashatz, we say the Moedim the Rabbanim while he's saying the longer Moedim. And the Gemara says it's all, both practices are on the assumption that we can concentrate on what the Kohanim are saying, what the Chazan is saying, at the same time that we're saying something else. You have to have a good head for that, to concentrate on what someone else is saying when you're saying something else at the same time. So the Torah says, we live in a Shvacha Doira, Opgeshvachta Doiras, there's a Yeridus Adoiras, And he says, it's too hard to concentrate on the Kohenim saying, if you're going to say the Psukim, so he recommends you shouldn't say the Psukim by Dukma. You should look in the Siddur. If you want to look at the Psukim, look at them, but you should pay attention to the Kohanim when they say the Bruch. So it's based on that. The Rav Soloveitchik said, just like the Torah says, we're not such geniuses that we can pay attention to the Kohanim, say the Psukim at the same time. So he said, the same is the problem by Moedim Derabbanan. If we're going to say Moedim Derabbanan, how can we pay attention to the Chazan? So Rav Soloveitchik recommended maybe the Chazan should just say Moedim Anachnu Loch out loud and pause and give everybody a chance to say the Moedim Derabbanan. Then when everybody finishes the Moedim Derabbanan, then the Chazan should finish the Moedim and the Shmoneh Esrei, because just like the Torah said, it's too hard to concentrate on two different things. So there are many Talmidim and Yeshiva follow Rabbi Soloveitchik's recommendation. Yeah. I wanted to say a few words about Sfiras HaOmer. Some of the Dinim of Matzah Mor, everybody read the Haggadah, so everybody knows how to observe Matzah Mor and everything. But Sfiras HaOmer is a little bit lacking. The Gemara points out Sfiras HaOmer appears in two different parashas, in Parashas HaMor and in Parashas Re'eh. So one parasha it says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, sounds like you count days. The other parasha says, Shiva Shavuos Tisperu. You count the weeks. So which is it? You count the days, you count the weeks. So Abai says they're both together. Mitzvah the Mimni Yomi, or Mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. It's a mitzvah to count the days, and mitzvah to count the weeks, like we do all the time. So the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs is disagreeing with some other contemporaries of his who said that these should be counted as two different mitzvahs. The Lashon HaGemara, mitzvah the Mimni Yomi, or mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. There's one mitzvah to count the days, one mitzvah to count the weeks. So the Rambam thinks that it's not correct, and he brings a rai, the fact that we only say one bracha. If there would really be two different mitzvahs, so you should really say two different brachas. That's not such a conclusive proof. That's a questionable proof, because the Rambam sheet there is that Tfilna Shel Yad and Tfilna Hirosh, the Mishnah says, Anat Miakvim Zeh Zeh, and still the Rambam holds you only say one bracha. You won't say one bracha on the Shel Yad, and if you're not mapsik in between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, you don't say another bracha on the Shel Rosh. Most people follow, most Ashkenazim follow the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, even if you didn't talk, you always have to say two brachas on the Shel Rosh. So if you didn't talk, the bracha laniach goes both on Shel Yad and on Shel Rosh. But the Rambam holds like Rashi, that you only say one bracha laniach tefillin, kav Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, despite the fact that they're two different mitzvahs. And the same thing that Tosefta, the Kesem Mishnah there, quotes at Tosefta says that the person is about the mimafish truma and chala and maisem and amaiser and bikurim all at the same time. He says one bracha al afrashas truma. They're four completely different mitzvahs, unrelated to each other. But since the one bracha applies to all the four mitzvahs, so you cover four different mitzvahs with one bracha. So how does the Rambam prove that? Proof is very questionable. The Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah, says the fact that we only say one bracha al sfiras ha'imer, we should have said two brachas. Al Sfiras Yimei HaOmer and Al Sfiras Shavuos HaOmer. So from the fact you only say Sfiras HaOmer, you see it's one mitzvah with two parts to it. Alright, it doesn't really make that much of a difference whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. There's a big machloikas, there's a question in the Gemara whether Sfiras HaOmer Bizmana says the Raisa de Rabbana. The Psak HaMekubal in Shulchan Aruch is that Sfiras HaOmer Bizmana says only the Rabbana, because it says, V'yam HaBiyachem HaSayim HaTnufo. You start counting Sfira from the day that you brought the Minchas HaOmer. Hey, today there's no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Minchas HaOmer. The Rambam and the Gaonim never quoted that opinion. They seem to hold the favorish that Sfiras HaOmer Bizmanah Zeh D'Oraisa. Only the Baalei HaTosfos have accepted that psak, that it's the Rabbanan. Aye, but the Pasuk says, Miyom HaBiach Masayim HaTnufo. So there's an explanation that's given by the Maram Chalava, a sefer on Psochim, from the basement Rosh Hashol HaRamban. So he says, he raises an issue. It sounds like Achronim speaking. The Abinezer has this language. But the Maram Chalava, every so often Maram Chalava has a whole discussion that sounds like the Achronim talking. A whole different way of thinking. So he says, like a Hakira, what's the Mechayiv of Sfiras HaOmer? Is it Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer? Or is it the day? The Yom Tezayin, Nisan is Mechayiv. Yom HaBeyachem is HaTnufa. Is it the Yom is Mechayiv? So that's the Shaila, are women mechuyev in Sfiras HaOmer? So there's a famous Ramban in Kiddushin. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin that women are not obligated to fulfill mitzvahs as seish as man grama. So Sfiras Oyma Al Pi Pashta Sein Lecha Mitzvah Sase Shazman Grama Gadol Mizeh. Counting the days in between Pesach and Shavuos should be Azman Grama. So the Ramban says it's not Azman Grama. How can it not be Azman Grama? Of course it is. So the Maram Chalva explains, and the Avdei Nezer has the same thing, came out word for word, the same thing. The question is, what's the Mechayiv in Sfiras Oyma? If it's Yom Tezayin, so the Sfiras Oyma Bezman is Ezder Aysa, Yom Tezayin, the day on which he should have brought the Minchas Oyma, and if the Yom is Mechayiv, the women are not Mechayiv. But if it means Hakrovas Minchas Oyma is Mechayiv, so then there is no Hakrovas Minchas Oyma Bezman Azeh, so Sfiras Oyma today would be the Rabbanon. And if Hakrovas Minchas Oyma is Mechayiv, Yom Tezayin is Mechayiv and Hakrovas Oyma. But the Mechayiv in Sfira is the Hakrovas HaMincha, that's not called a Zman Groma. If Zman is Mechayiv to bring a Korban, the Hakrovas HaKorban is Mechayiv in the Sfira, that's indirect, that's not called Zman Groma. So that's what the Achronim interpret in this Ramban. The Ramban says women are Mechayiv in Sfira, so Aymer, because he holds that it's not that Yom Tezayin is Mechayiv in the Sfira, it's Hakrovas HaOymer is Mechayiv, because the Ramban is assuming that Sfira HaOymer B'Zman HaZeh is the Rabbon. So that's Machlek. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that Sfira HaOymer B'Zman HaZeh is the Rabbon. So Tosfos writes on that Gemara in Menachos, Dav Samach Vav and Aleph, the Gemara has all the dinim, it's the last riff in Psochem, because the riff didn't write anything on Menachos. So he quotes all the dinim of Sfira HaOymer and the last page in the riff on Psochem. So the Tosfos writes on that Dav, since Sfira HaOymer B'Zman HaZeh is only the Rabbonon, so we should have the right to say Sveika the Rabbonon Lekula. So we would permit you to count Sfira during Bein HaShemoshes. That's that person who's going to daven Ma'ariv early. So it's only Bein HaShemoshes, so can he count Sfira? So Tosfos says we would recommend, yes, he should count Sfira, because Sveika the Rabbonon Lekula. So the Ran, at the end of Psochem, quotes the Tosfos, and he says, what a pella. Sveika the Rabbonon Lekula, lechatchila, you machtin sesaf to a Sveika Rabbonon. That's not right. If you get stuck, you fall into a blotte. So you say, you have a right to be mekel. But it's not right. Lachatchila lahachnas atzma v'sveika derabon lekula. Why does Tosfos allow it lachatchila? So if you look in Tosfos, they explain why they allow it. They say there's a din of tmimos. And the Gemara understands shavas shavas as tmimos. You should count every day as much of the day as possible. You shouldn't count svira at 12 o'clock at night. You shouldn't count svira at 11 o'clock. You should count the first minute in the night that you can possibly count. So when svira saima was there, Isa bizman amigdosh. It's a din deraisa, it says feka deraisa luchumra. So you can't count during Bein HaShemoshes. Maybe it's not yet higia hazman. So you have to wait till Tzeis HaKachavim. But hind that Sfira HaOymer, after the Churban HaBayis is only derabanan, and the din would be feka derabanan lekula. So we would recommend, bedafke, you should count during Bein HaShemoshes, Taisa says, in order to have more of the 24 hours included in the Sfira. That's how the Gemara understands Tmimas. As much of the day as possible should be included into the Sfira. If the Ran didn't understand that from Tosfos, that's where the Ran says, why should it be Machnas Atzmo? But Tosfos explains why, because they hold that's the din, that's the din of the Mit. But in Shulchan Aruch, they follow the Ran on this. They recommend that the more correct is that even though Sfira Samadhan says the Rabbanon, you shouldn't count Sfira during Bein HaShemoshes. The Baha came up with a big Kiddush that if you missed one day, So now everybody knows, miss one day, you don't get the cheesecake on Shavuot. That's not what the Baha'i said. The Baha'i said, if you miss one day, you can't continue to count because of Tmimas. So all the Rishonim asked, the Gemara never said, Tmimas doesn't mean all 49 days. Tmimas means each day, you should include as much of the day as possible. You should count as early as possible. And you shouldn't postpone counting till 12 o'clock at night. You should count earlier into the night. As early as possible in the night. But that's what the Bahag says, if you missed one day. So we really don't paskin like the Bahag. It doesn't appear in the Gemara, but out of respect for the Bahag, we don't violate what he said. So whenever a person missed one day, so we say you should continue counting without a bracha. But if there's any other tzad lohakel, let's say, we really have to count Sfira HaOymer Balayla. If you count by yom, if you missed counting Balayla, you count by yom. So that's a machlokes in Rishonim, if you're yotze. So if a person forgot to count by Laila, he counts by Yom, Bali Bracha, Misafek, so then the next night he should count with a Bracha. Why? So in Shulchan Aruch they present it as if it's a Svek Sveke. Maybe the din is not like the Bahag, and maybe even if you missed the whole day, you still mechuyev to count. And maybe he didn't miss a whole day. Maybe counting by Yom Yivar Yotze. So the Poskim say, you don't really need a Svek Sveik over here. It may not be Oizgehalten, according to the rules and regulations of Svek Sveik. We really don't Poskim like the Bahag. Out of respect for the Bahag, we don't say a Bracha. But whenever there's another tzad to explain why you should say a Bracha, so then it's not in glaring opposition to the Bahag Shita, so then we don't follow the Bahag. The same thing we spoke for Purim. The Bahag has a Chiddush that a woman cannot read the Megillah to be might see a man. So the Rishonim say it seems to be beferish against the Gemara. Pashtus is a woman, can read the Megillah to be might see the man. But nonetheless, we don't want to go against the Bahag beferish. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I'll close with this, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over, the two ways to understand the Bahag. Why does it say if he missed one day, he can't continue to count? So the Pashat Pshat, the Prima Godim lines, Pashat Pshat is that when you have Dalam Nina Shabalula, Makvim Zezeh, because it's one big mitzvah. So here also, the Bahag holds that all 49 counts, all constitute one mitzvah, so everything is Makvim Zezeh. So based on that understanding, the Prima Godim is bothered with the Kasha. How do you say 49 brachas? If it's one mitzvah, you should say one bracha. How come you say 49 brachas? So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of giving over two terutzim on the Prima Godim's Kasha. So one terutz he gave was as follows. The Rambam counts as one mitzvah to be makra v'karbon oilu k'mishpata. Another mitzvah to be makra v'karbon chatos properly. So the Ramban asks, if it's one mitzvah to be makra v'karbon oilu k'mitzvasa, so how come the Tosefta says, the one who shechts the oilu says a bracha, asher k'dushanu mitzvasa tzvan al shchita sazeva. The Koine does, Kabbalah Saddam says, asher k'dushanu mitzvasa shashalaran, tzvan al Kabbalah Saddam. One does halacha Saddam, one does Zrika Saddam, one does Haktorah. You have 20 people say brachas. 20 people say 20 brachas if it's one mitzvah. So the Ramban asked that kasha against the Rambam. So the Nosei Kelim on the Sefer HaMitzvahs answered the Ramban's kasha. If you have one mitzvah but it has 25 Maisei HaMitzvah, on every Maisei HaMitzvah you say another bracha. Take for example, the Rambam writes, the Rambam is of the opinion, do you eat the matzah and the mora together or do you have to eat them separately? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. So the Rambam Paschal is like the opinion, it's optional. If you want, you can eat the matzah and the morah together. If you want, you can eat them separately. So the Rambam says, if you eat them together, you say one bracha. And if you eat them separately, then you say bracha alachilas matzah. Then you say bracha alachilas morah. The same thing the Rambam writes when you shake dalan minim. So the Rambam holds, wheat Paschal lulav ein tzorach eged, doesn't have to be tied up with the lulav doesn't have to be tied up with the hadasim and arovas. So the Rambam holds that if lulav ein tzorach eged, you can even pick up the dal minim bizar chazeh. You don't have to hold them all together. So he says, if you hold them all together, then you say one bracha on the tilas lulav. If you take the lulav and the esrog and the hadasim and arovas bizar chazeh, then you say four brachas on the tilas lulav, on the tilas esrog, on the tilas hadasim, on the tilas arovas. You say four different brachas. If you did four different maaseh amitz. So that was one teretz that Rav Soloveitchik gave on the Prima Godim, that maybe his pshat in the Bahag is correct, that the 49 spheres are one big mitzvah, that's why everything is ma'akvim zeh, like dal minim shebelulav is one mitzvah, that's why ma'akvim zeh. How come you say 49 brachas? Because they're 49 ma'aseh mitzvah. Every night you have to count separately. Then he said, v'yodeh shlama, he didn't think that that was a pshat at all in the Bahag. He didn't think that the Bahag meant to say it's one mitzvah. Let's say a person is holding by the end of his life, and he knows he's going to die within a few days. So he shouldn't tell Sfira, because he knows he's going to die, and all the spheres are makam zeh zeh. That's how she, if you learn like that, that's how it should come out. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the Bahag didn't mean that. He thought the Bahag just meant to say you can't count 15 if you didn't count 14. How can you continue? The numbers have to go in order. So if you didn't count 14, you can't go weiter. But it's not a din that all the 49 spheres are makam zeh zeh. The 49 different mitzvahs, and each mitzvah requires its own bracha. But a different word, you need tmimus means. You can't count the higher number. You didn't count the lower number. And some of the Rishonim write when they disagree with the Bahag, so they say, the Bahag's issue is not a problem, because everybody else is counting 15. I can count along with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So you see that the thing that was bothering the Bahag is not so much Ma'akvim Zeh Zeh. All the 49 spheres are one big mitzvah Ma'akvim Zeh Zeh. No, what was bothering was, how can you count 15 if you didn't count 14? So the Rishonim say, all the Jews in the world are counting 15. I count along with everybody else. So he thought that that was the more correct pshat. That's why the Menchas Chinuch has a famous shaila. I have two of my children became bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfira. Two of my boys became bar mitzvah. So that's a famous discussion in the Menchas Chinuch. A boy who becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfira. So all the counting that he did before his bar mitzvah was only mitam chinuch. So on the level of the Raisa, he was in the chuyev. So then he's going to start counting. It becomes bar mitzvah, chleis, and lag boimer. So he's not counting tmimas. He's missing everything from before. If the din is the ma'ak from zeh, so the, all the spheres that he did before his bar mitzvah is only be katnusa. So it's not yoytze. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not what it means. It just means he can't count 15 if he didn't count 40. The kid was counting all along. So since he was counting, even though he wasn't yoytze anything on the level of deraisa, but that's not the reason why. I remember once there was a girl at NCSY. There was a girl, she thought that she was Jewish because her stepfather was Jewish. I think I already forgot what this... Her mother was not Jewish. Her father, I think, was Jewish. So she thought that she was Jewish. So she came to NCSY, and then she found out that she's not Jewish. So she wanted to convert. So she's only in high school. So he said, the mother didn't keep Shabbos, didn't keep kosher. How can you convert? It's going to be impossible. When you graduate high school, you'll be on your own. You go to college, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to start keeping Shabbos and kosher. You can't. It's going to be too difficult. So then they always have Yarchikala in between December 25th and January 1st. They have shiurim for these kids from all Arba Kampus, from all over America. They come to New Jersey and they give shiurim. Every hour and a half, there's another shiur. So one year, all the shiurim are about bracha. So they assigned me a topic. I should have rebbes from the yeshiva and talmidim go to New Jersey every hour someone else gives a shiur. So they asked me to give a shiur about the women saying a bracha mitzvah says the shazman gram. So I'm giving the shiur and then I see this little girl is there. She's not Jewish. So I said, of course, by medvar ma'amurim, that a woman can say bracha and shazman gram if the woman is Jewish. But the woman is not Jewish, and so she can't say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. She's not Jewish. So the girl comes over later on, so she says to me, why can't I just leave out that part of the bracha? So I said, you know Hebrew, what's the sentence going to be? Baruch atah Elokeinu melech ha'olam, al netilas lulav. There's no subject, there's no predicate. You didn't say anything. So she says, so you just stole all the brachas from me. So I want to convert today. She says, she wants to convert today. So I said, well, you can't convert. So we finally... A couple of years later, we're converting the girl in the middle of Sfira. On a Sunday afternoon, she's going to go to the mikveh in the middle of Sfira. So I was on the Beis Din, and Rabbi Taubes, and Rabbi Neuberger. She was tevel in the mikveh in Tinek. So I told the other two rabbonim, don't ask her so many questions. The girl's been going to NCSY for so many years. She knows all the dinim. She knows the whole kitzur shulchan. Just one, two, three. Let's not give her a hard time. So Rabbi Taubes was very nervous. He kept on asking her more questions to make sure she gave all the right answers. Then he says, is there anything that you want to ask before it's too late? After you're going to go to the mikveh, it's too late about anything. She said, yes. She has a question she wants to ask. When she counts Sfira tonight, should she say a bracha or not? Because she wasn't Jewish. And Rabbi Shechter said, I can't say the bracha, but I'm not Jewish. That was her question. So Rabbi, then we all started to laugh. That's her question. So he said, you go to the mikveh and we'll discuss. Yeah. A good the end of everybody. Chag kosher v'sameach.
How
He says that he has one of his essays. He says that Lashon HaKodesh is the root of other languages, and he says Amor, Amore, Amor in every language. So he says Kosa Baruch Hu and Mor Lahem. Say it with Ava.
Yeah.